Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the GVS First Half 2022 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Scagliarini, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to the presentation of the first half 2022. Nice result in these first six months, despite all the turbulence that we have in the market, geopolitically speaking. We had nearly 170 million in revenue, 166.6. That means +17% compared with the previous first half of 2021, of course, net of the disposable mask. If we compare this with the second half that was clean from any pandemic influence, we have a nice 14% growth compared with this last period. Going into the division, Healthcare and Life Science, with a positive +2%, that in reality is definitely bigger because is compensating the slowdown that we had in Air and Safety due to the contract that I mentioned also in the previous conference. We missed one contract with one customer, and that have slowed down this division. Netting this, also the Air and Gas subdivision is growing. Overall, anyway, we have a 2% compared with the first half of last year, and we have a nice 11% compared with the second half of last year. Energy & Mobility stable compared with the first half of last year and with a 23% compared with the second half. Health and Safety, 200%, nearly 300% increase compared with the first half of 2021. Also this is due also to the acquisition of RPB and a nice 17% compared with the second half of last year. Overall, I would say that we are progressing very well in the right direction compared with the medium-term plan that we anticipated. EBITDA 24%, slightly higher than the second half of 2021. I'm not comparing this with the first half of 2022 because we had also a lot of absorption due to the pandemic that would have been very difficult really to compare apple with apple. Net financial position, 306 million. That, of course, is reflecting all the acquisition that we have done. 40 million of net operative cash generation. STT acquisition in February, Emotronic acquisition in June 2022. Right of use of about 24 million, including 14 million from the Emotronic consolidation. Leverage KPI, debt versus equity 1.2, and net financial versus EBITDA 4.2. Mario will then go more deep on this KPI later on. Okay, a quick view on sales. As we say, as I anticipated before, we have a 2% growth, but in reality, if we go in the subdivision, the medical liquid is growing with a very higher number because it's compensating the Air and Gas slowdown. Energy & Mobility +2%, 23% on the last half, on the last 6 months. Again, on energy and mobility, we will need to see the rest of the year because we know by experience that in this sector, we might have variation by the end of the year, depending on the stock of our customer. Health and safety started the beginning of the year very strong with a more sophisticated mask, so all the PAPR type of product, all the chemical masks, so all the masks related to more critical application went very well. The mask for the more simple operation, so the one related to construction or to more simple operation, were slow, but now they are picking up again also in this range of products. So generally speaking, we are seeing a nice pickup also in this area. Healthcare and life science reached the 57% in terms of incidence of the revenue. It will grow, of course, because here we still don't have the full Imotronic business inside this number. Health and safety, 19%, and energy mobility, 24%. North America, it's becoming the leading market, and with the 49%, Europe 25%, Asia 18%, and rest of the world 8%. Of course, again, when Emotronic will be full inside, this will change slightly again. Okay, so again, a quick view on the sales. We see that the normalized sales in 2021 were 141 million, and this year 166. So this represent the plus 14% versus the second half 2021, and 17% versus the first half of 21. So from our point of view, considering all the activity that we have done in this period, the two acquisition and cost and activity in continuous improvement keep growing organically like this, it's a very nice result, also due to the general situation. Now, going more deep on the main financial, I will leave the speech to Mario. Mario, to you.
Okay. Good morning to everyone. In terms of key financials, so we can start from the EBITDA margin, as Massimo described, 40 million more or less in terms of EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA in euro, 24%. In terms of EBITDA margin, slightly lower compared with our target, with the trend of the recent past, and this is due to several reasons, but the main reason is the level of absorption that we need to reach after the period related to the COVID scenario. We are reflecting our normal incidence in all the cost line of our P&L, with the only line which is in a critical area actually is the labor cost incidence, and this is due to the conversion that we registered starting from the second half of the past year, in terms of reduction of the labor cost incidence due to the direct labor and the increase and the investment that we are doing in organizational and commercial structure to manage and to prepare also the future growth. Obviously, in this complex scenario, an important part is played by the inflation and all the difficulties that we can face in terms of purchasing of material. And the price dynamics and the price strategy is very, very important to manage this kind of cost ongoing. And we are doing this. And obviously, there is a little bit of delay between one quarter and another in terms of changing, but it's something that is going in the right way, and we will see the impact in the next quarter and in the future. Adjusted EBIT follows the same trend of the adjusted EBITDA, with the only difference is related to the adjustments related to the PPA, so the purchase price allocation of the for the goodwill related to the new acquisition that we made, and this is a voice that is increasing due obviously to the high number of acquisitions that we closed in the last 12 months, because we closed three different acquisitions starting from August 2021. Net financial expenses are more or less on the same level of the previous year, with a little bit of increase, not in terms of incidence, but in terms of value. But in reality, the impact of the increase of this kind of cost is something that we will see in the future due to the higher level of gross debt that we have now after the acquisition that we made, and the trend in terms of increase of financial interest that we are registering in the market. More or less half part of our gross debt is based on variable interest, and half part is based on fixed in the interest, so we are managing the fluctuation of the interest rate with a positive policy of coverage to prevent the future. In terms of taxes, the incidence of the tax rate is about 24%. In the first half is always lower than the complete year, and this is because in reality the big impact of the tax adjustment tax policies we will see only in Q4, so as normal we expect an increase of the tax rate also for this year before the end of the year, and we expect to close between 25-26% of tax rate. In terms of net income, the adjusted net income, we closed the year, the period, the semester with 40 million, so 23.7% of adjusted net income, which is a level that is quite similar to the same period of the year before, but it is due to the positive impact of the exchange rate for the US dollar in the P&L. So it's just a technical variation compared with the rest of the trend that we registered in EBITDA and the EBIT that we commented. CAPEX, about 9 million operative CAPEX, without considering any extraordinary or M&A investment realized in the first half of this year. We had 3.7 million of investment related to the new plant that we are implementing in China. And this is quite extraordinary activities that we are following now, but obviously the big part of this extraordinary investment are related to the M&A that we closed in the first half of this year, because we closed the acquisition of STT and the acquisition of Hemotronic before the end of June 2022. Trade working capital is still higher compared with our historical trend, which is in the average between 24-25% in our history. Now we are working with a 33% in terms of incidence of trade working capital. This is quite unusual for us, but it's also due to the prudence and the need to manage all the difficulties in the scenario that we are facing starting from the second half of the past year. So it's something that we will improve in the future, but actually is related to a strategy that we implemented to be covered by the scenarios variations. R&D is increasing more or less 10% compared with the year before, the same period of the year before, and this is quite normal for us. We are always about 7% of our turnover for R&D expenses, and this is a trend that we will follow also for the future if it's not increased. Net financial position, as Massimo said, is about 396 million. And this is due obviously to the strong concentration of the acquisition that we made in the last 12 months and mainly in the first half of this year. This brings us to a level of net financial position higher than our normal standard, aligning up to 4.2 times in terms of relation with our EBITDA, obviously on the pro forma basis. And we expect that this value will decrease under 3.5, which is the level that we have to guarantee to be under the covenant that we have in our financial contracts. Cash conversion with our operative capex is always about 78%, and so now the focus for the next future is surely about the deleverage to be ready to get the new opportunities that we have to get for our plan. Okay, this is the bridge between the year end of 2021 in terms of net financial position and the end of June 2022. And we can see in this slide that the main reason for the increase on net financial position is obviously due to the acquisition. Between the price that we paid to complete the acquisition and the earnout that we have in our provision for the next future, starting from the next year up to 2025. In a net financial position, we are considering the net present value of that value. I leave the speech to Massimo to describe a little bit the focus of the action for the second half of this year. Massimo?
Mr. Scaiarini, maybe your line is on mute.
Thank you. I apologize, I was on mute. So, as I say, nothing—it's changed from the last conference. The main focus is on execution and principally in carving out all the synergy from the different acquisition that we have done, and plus working on reorganizing all the new industrial structure to optimize a better saturation in all the manufacturing plant. Of course, M&A remain one open activity. Not right now, of course. We want to see first the covenant returning to normality. And then the last one, but not the less important, is the supply chain, because we live in a very turbulent period, so we have to pay a lot of attention on managing price increase of raw material, logistic, and of course, a very tight cost controlling. Okay, I believe that now we are ready to move to the Q&A section.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, I. Good afternoon, everybody. I have, let's say, some questions. Should be five or six questions. Okay, very brief. So I will go through the first. Let's say the first question is on the contribution of the last acquisition. Okay, you made. If you can give us, considering also the very limited contribution of Remotronic in the first half, if you can give us an indication of the trend, the first half sales trend for Remotronic in this, let's say, 2022 first half. The second question is on RPD. Again, if understood well, we should see an acceleration of the sales of this company in the second part of the year. So if you can again explain to us the underlying trend behind this acceleration, the second half, but also, again, first half sales trend for RPD. The third question, I don't know if you want to go one by one or I go with all let's say the question I would like to make.
I am just taking a note, so if you want to go on.
Okay, thanks. The third question is on the air and gas. If you can just, because I don't see the, let's say, the split, if you can give us the first half sales trend for the air and gas trend, okay, the level. The fourth question was on one of the last statements you made on the industrial optimization. If you can, let's say, give us more color on the, let's say, plant closure that the company is planning to do in the U.S. and China in the coming, let's say, months or quarters. So just to better understand the timing of this industrial optimization. The fifth question is on the FX. Can you, let's say, give us the impact at the sales level of the FX in this first half? And the last one is just related to considering the first half trend and the EBITDA achieved in this first half. If you are expecting to do some acceleration, considering also the contribution of Remotronic, but also, let's say, of RPD, I would like to understand if it is at least reasonable to assume an EBITDA absolute term for you in the region of 100 euro million. Thanks.
So I lost the fifth question, but we can start and then when we arrive there, you can remind me. I start, Mario, but you jump in when you want. So, Emotronic, the first half, it's done very well, even better than what we expected. And Mario, do you have the number in terms of EBITDA of Emotronic, if you want to share?
We had Emotronic with 70 million on the base with 20% of EBITDA. Actually, the first half is more or less on that level with an EBITDA EBITDA that is a little bit higher than that value. So positive impact for the first half that is not consolidated in our numbers, and a good provision in terms of order for the second year, with an expectation higher in terms of revenues.
Generally speaking, in relation to Hemotronic, I would say that all the Italian organization is confirming the excellence that we were seeing during the due diligence, the quality of the customer, the quality in terms of revenue and marginality of the product. The important focus now is on Mexico, because Mexico will start to perform at the completion of a big project that we have with two very big corporations, where we have to transfer a number of production lines in this location. The project is moving on. We are accelerating, but it will require is time. But generally speaking, Hemotronic is moving as per what we were seeing and what we were discussing during the negotiation. So positive. LPB acceleration, we are already seeing a nice acceleration on LPB. We are start seeing picking up the sales in Europe. That is where we were expecting more, because LPB was doing nearly nothing in Europe, and now all the sales team is starting to bring back nice order also from the European market, but not only. We are still waiting for certain country, because we have to finish the registration of the product. For what regard Asia and South America, we will see this return only by the end of the year, beginning of next year. But Europe is already moving very well, and LPB is increasing their number, maintaining a very nice marginality on the product. Air and gas is the third question. If I didn't answer to something, just let me know, interrupt me, no problem. Air and gas is suffering a little bit because we had a contract with a customer that had decided to internalize the production, and so that is what have made a slowdown to air and gas. Plus something related with a pandemic, but I would say that principally is this. Nevertheless, if we net from this event, the division is growing. So we are positive also on this subdivision. Of course, in these first 6 months is where we see the major impact, and so it's giving only the 2% growing on the healthcare and life science. That in reality, if we go in the subdivision medical liquid, if I recall correct, we have a nice growth of nearly 28% between the organic and the acquisition. Reorganization. Well, we are now we have a very important structure in United States, so it's our intention. We are evaluating the possibility to close one production plant and focus and bring all the production into another plant, so to have a better saturation and, of course, better marginality. But is not a plan that will happen immediately. Will require a little bit of time because there are a lot of certification and approval that we need to have before we proceed with this. But we are moving in this direction. The same thing in China. So when we will move in the new plant, the objective is today we have three plants, reality four, but three really active. We are considering eventually to close one plant and bring all the production inside the new plant in China. And of course, the other very important. Yeah, go ahead, Mario.
Go on. I want to answer to one other question that I shared before about the exchange rate. So.
Okay. Just to finish the industrial organization.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will be very important for us in the last acquisition that we made of Hemotronic and the big program that we have for the Reynosa plant. In reality, will bring saturation also to the Monterrey plant. That is the green field that we had from 2 years, 3 years ago. And so a lot of injection molding will be moved into the Monterrey plant, bringing a better saturation also in this location.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the principal, the main project in terms of industrial organization. And then, of course, there are many other plan and project that goes inside each single plan, but this is a more day-to-day activity, if you understand what I mean. And this is the reason why also M&A, it's important, but now is on hold, because we really want to focus on our day-to-day activity and bring back the marginality and the saturation for every single plant as we were used. Okay, now there is the fifth question that I missed. I don't know, Mario, if you catch it.
Yes, about the FX. The question was about the FX impact and in the first half, the overall of the exchange rate of all the currencies in our consolidated is about 5%. So this is the
okay.
Impact that registered during the first half.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so the last question is about the EBITDA contribution from RTD, RPB and Hemotronic. RPB have excellent standard in terms of EBITDA, so for sure is a very nice help to the EBITDA of the group. Hemotronic, we will need to close the Mexican project before to have them in the first position in the ranking of the EBITDA producer of the group. As I said before, Italy is doing very well, Mexico not, so we have to bring Mexico to the same level of Italy, and then also Hemotronic will become one of the first in the ranking as an EBITDA contribution.
Mm.
I don't know if I answered correctly the question.
Yes, Massimo. Let's say the follow-up on this question was related to considering, let's say, the first half, but also that you expect probably, let's say, by year end, a lower level of net debt. I'm just, let's say, sticking to the expectation to be with a net debt EBITDA below 3.5 times for this year. So this would mean, in theory, to not be, let's say, so far from the 100 euro million EBITDA for the group this year. This is just, let's say, a question to understand, because in the end, you should experience, let's say, a better second half, even organically, compared to the first half.
Absolutely. I mean, we have started in the first half a lot of activity that you cannot really see because they are all ongoing work that will start to be more visible in the second half. And so I believe that this is what, if I correctly answer your question, this is what will bring us to the 3.5, lower than the 3.5 in terms of KPI for the end of the year.
Okay. Thanks, Massimo. Thanks, Mario.
Alessandro, you made too many questions.
Gentlemen, Mr. Scagliarini, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you to everybody, and we will see you. We will hear again on the next quarter.
Thank you, and bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye.